Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. I came across a story about a hilarious prayer. At least I thought so. It begins with a farmer who had three sons, Ron, Don, and Little John. All had their names on the church roll, but none ever attended church, or for that matter, had any time for God at all. Then one day, one of the brothers, Don, was bitten by a rattlesnake. The doctor was called, and he did what he could to help Don, and then the pastor was called to provide pastoral care. The pastor arrived and began to pray. O wise and righteous Father, we thank thee that in thine wisdom thou didst send this rattlesnake to bite Don. He hasn't been inside the church in years. We trust that this experience will be a valuable lesson to him and will lead him to genuine repentance. And now, O God, wilt thou send another rattlesnake to bite Ron, and another one to bite Little John, and a really big one to bite their old man. Thank you, God, for rattlesnakes. Amen. That's quite a prayer, isn't it? Don recovered and decided that God had given him a second chance. And so he was in church the following Sunday. Second chances are good. Some of you may remember the name Alan Simpson. Simpson served with distinction as a Republican member of the United States Senate from Wyoming from 1979 until 1997. In his younger years, however, Simpson admitted that as a juvenile, he was, in his own words, a monster. At one time, he was on federal probation for shooting mailboxes and punching a police officer. One day, when Simpson was in high school, he and some friends went out to do damage. They went to an abandoned war relocation structure and decided to torch it. They committed arson on federal property, a crime now punishable by up to 20 years in prison, if no one is hurt, and punishable by life in prison if someone is. Luckily for Simpson, no one was injured in the blaze. Simpson recalled not only playing with fire, but he also played with guns. He played a game with his friends in which they shot at rocks. These rocks were situated close to the other participants. At times, using bullets they stole from a local hardware store. The goal of this game was to come as close to possible to striking someone without actually doing so. Again, Simpson was lucky. No one was killed or at least seriously injured. Simpson and his friends went shooting firearms throughout their entire community. They fired at mailboxes, blowing holes in several. They even killed a cow. They fired at a road grader. Federal authorities then charged Simpson with destroying government property. He pleaded guilty. He received 2 years of probation and was required to make restitution from his own funds, funds that he was supposed to obtain by holding down a job. As all of this was unfolding, Alan saw his parents look at each other in total disbelief. And then Alan saw his father begin to cry. Fortunately for Alan Simpson, he got a second chance, and he became one of the most respected senators of his generation. Do you believe in second chances? Well, thankfully, God does. In our scripture this morning, Jesus tells a parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man, the gardener, who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been trying to get fruit off this tree. Haven't found a single piece. Cut it down. Why should it use up my valuable soil?" Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? What good is a fruit tree that doesn't bear fruit? Notice that it had been 3 years, according to the scripture, that the owner and the fig tree had been having this ongoing struggle. It had yielded nothing. Well, we're told by biblical scholars that 3 years is the length of time that it takes a fig tree to become established, a fruit-bearing tree. That it was not bearing fruit at this point seemed highly unlikely, according to scholars. If it didn't yield fruit within the next year, then it would be likely it never would. But at the time of the story, it probably wouldn't have been yielding fruit anyway. So the owner of the vineyard, we're told, makes a practical, business-like decision to get rid of the tree. Cut it down, he says. But the gardener, the one who's cared for the vineyard throughout these 3 years, intervenes. Sir, the man replies, leave it alone for just one more year. I'll dig around it. I'll fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then we can cut it down. Obviously, the gardener who cared for the vineyard saw possibilities in the tree. The owner of the tree just couldn't see him. The owner could only see a tree that wasn't pulling its weight. But the gardener, who looked after the tree, was more familiar with it and believed that the tree deserved another chance. Thank God for second chances. Some of you may have seen a movie a few years ago titled Catch Me If You Can. It was an exciting movie, in my opinion, based on the true story of Frank Abagnale, played in the movie by Leonardo DiCaprio. Frank's dad, Frank Sr., played in the movie by Christopher Walken, was, for a time, in serious trouble with the IRS. His self-indulgent wife divorced him. The resulting breakup of their family had a profound effect on young Frank, who at age 16 began acting out his frustration by impersonating adults and engaging in several different vocations. For example, he became a substitute teacher, even though he was only a high schooler himself. Then he successfully impersonated a Pan Am co-pilot. After that, he impersonated a physician. Yeah, a medical doctor. How would you like a high school kid operating on you? He also impersonated a lawyer. He had funded these adventures by passing hundreds of fake checks. He succeeded partly because he was careful to dress the part. After all, clothes make the man, they say. And more importantly, because he possessed a convincing charm. Enough charm to acquire information, hotel rooms, flights all around the world, and oodles of cash. In the film, a determined FBI agent, played by Tom Hanks, tracked Frank across several continents. Arrested and sentenced to 12 years in jail, 26-year-old Frank is given a second chance by the government. Frank is given early release in return for his skill and his expertise. As a consultant to the FBI and thousands of corporations around the world, Frank became one of the world's leading experts on fraud. He also became a public speaker, addressing corporations about how to protect themselves from people like him. This is a true story, my friends. Frank Abagnale, like Alan Simpson, is a man who could testify, thank God for second chances. A second chance implies that we've done something wrong. You know me by now. I'm the kind of preacher who preaches 99% of the time about a God of grace and a God of love. From time to time, we need to face facts, my friends. It's simply absurd, in my opinion, to think that a creator God has no expectations from those whom he has created, us. New Testament scholar and seminary professor Dr. Tom Long tells a story about one of his students who hailed him one day as he walked across the campus. Dr. Long, she said, could I speak to you for a minute? Long said, I'm going to grab a cup of coffee. You want to go? She did. And as they were sharing coffee, she told him what was on her mind. She said that she was serving as a field education student in a local church, and that her supervising pastor was requiring her to preach the very next Sunday. Long said, good. She said, no, it's not good. He's making me preach on the lectionary. Long again said, good. She said, it's not good. Have you read the lectionary text for next week? They're all about judgment. I don't believe in judgment. I believe in grace. I believe in mercy. It took me 3 years of therapy to get over the judgment that I had to deal with. I don't want to preach on judgment. They talked about it for a while, and then they moved on to other things. She began to tell Dr. Long about her family life. She and her husband had several children, only the youngest of whom, a teenage boy, was still at home, and he was driving them both crazy. He was in the drugs, maybe even dealing them. And he was always in trouble with the police. She said, like last night, for example, we're sitting at supper. We had no idea where he was. And in the middle of supper, our son comes in the back door. And I said, would you like some supper? And he practically spit on us. He just stomped down the hall to his room. He slammed the door. She said, my husband got up, turned on ESPN. That's always the way he responds to this. She said, I don't know. Something got into me. She said, I'm afraid of my son physically. Physically afraid of my own son, she said. But something got into me. And I got up from the table, and I went down to his room, and I pushed open the door. And I said to him, you listen to me. I love you so much. I'm not going to put up with this anymore. Tom Long then said, Caroline, I think you just preached a sermon on judgment. God loves us so much. He will not put up with the foolishness in our lives. We have foolishly hungered for success and power and status. And God says through Jesus, that's foolish. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness and justice. That's what makes life free and good. Jesus says that's foolish to hunger for success and power and status. Jesus says, I love you so much. I'm not going to put up with that. To say that God gives us second chances is to imply the fact of God's judgment on our sometimes foolish lives. God created us to bear fruit, the fruit of love, joy, peace, tolerance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It says as much in Galatians chapter 5. To think that God would forever put up with our lack of fruit and even the bearing of wrong fruit simply defies logic. We don't know what form God's judgment may take, whether in this world or the next, but God does judge. If nothing else, we see foolishness take a toll on our bodies, our relationships, and our reputations. The late humorist Lewis Gizzard once said that thinking about God's final judgment over our lives scared the you-know-what out of him. One day he received a questionnaire in the mail titled, Heaven, are you eligible? Gizzard said he took the test and scored too close to call. I suspect that all of us might score too close to call. Thank God then for second chances. But a second chance implies that we are not living our lives at the highest level that we need to. And we need to do something about that. That, my friends, is called repentance. Second chances are what the cross is all about. The question is, what will we do in response to the second chance God gives us? Do we continue to make the same foolish choices, the same foolish mistakes? We are journeying through the Lenten season. The last Sunday, the first Sunday of Lent, we dealt with Christ's temptations. We called it a test. In the same way, second chances are designed to help us learn and grow as we make our pilgrimage through life, so that we might bear more, better fruit. I love the way Louisa Tarkington once put it. She wrote, I wish there were some wonderful place called the land of beginning again, where all our past mistakes and heartaches and all our poor, selfish grief could be dropped like a shabby old coat at the door, and never to be put on again. God, Christ, offers us a second chance. We should say, thank God for second chances. Amen.